in other protest-related events, the shadow conventions also are taking place here in Los Angeles, concurrent with the Democratic National Convention. The shadow conventions have been convened primarily by Arianna Huffington, who refers to herself as a recovering Republican and calls together the various speakers and organizations which will be presenting issue-oriented material and topics. The focus primarily of the shadow conventions are campaign finance reform, the failed war on drugs, and the growing gap between the rich and the poor. We bring you some excerpts from Monday's shadow conventions and then Rage Against the Machine. First, we have Congressional Representative Jesse Jackson Jr., then Jonathan Kozol, and finally the Reverend Jim Lawson.
We want the Democratic Party and the Republican Party to live up to the truest American ideal on these questions. And we sit on the outside anxiously hoping for Democrats and Republicans to provide us our full citizenship rights. But the best history still remains the prism that our experience as African Americans has provided. It is this prism that watches a Supreme Court move between broad-based constitutional interpretations for all Americans and the strict constructionism of George Bush. It is this history that shows us how states are brought into the Union and why 11 states chose to leave this flag, and Abraham Lincoln, in an effort to build a more perfect Union for all Americans, went south, the center of conservatism, to get those states and put them back on this flag. Our challenge, even as we protest, is to build a more perfect union for all Americans, because the rights that the founding fathers have talked about are not so self-evident. We are hoping that among these rights will be the right to a public education of equal high quality for all Americans. That right needs to be a constitutional right. Is the only right and the only way that we can stop vouchers from entering the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, taking public resources to fund private schools. We need a constitutional remedy to provide every American an education of equal high quality. When I was elected to the United States Congress, I joined 434 other Americans in the Congress, 100 U.S. senators, 9 Supreme Court justices, and 1 U.S. president who have never looked back on a health care bill. If it's good enough for the Congress, it's good enough for the president and the Supreme Court, that same health care plan ought to be good enough for every American, and it ought to come in the form of a constitutional right to health care of high quality. So they say, Jesse Jr., you're talking about amending America. Why not amend America? There is no way the founding fathers could have lived through the Industrial Revolution or through the nuclear age. They could not have possibly have conceived of environmental contamination and disaster. We retained certain rights when we wrote this Constitution. And now that we've seen how the private sector has behaved by building nuclear power plants next to our homes and building environmental hazards next to our schools, we need constitutional protection and a government that's on the side of the people, not on the side of corporate America when it comes to the right to breathe. The absence of a message in this campaign that is advocating our new rights. I did not say new bills or new laws. Our new rights is the source of our greatest frustration. Government should be on the side of the people, not on the side of the powerful and the corporate interests. It should be on our side. And most importantly, when the government fails, when Democrats fail, when Republicans fail, we must have our own constitutional protections to create the union that we want to live in. brothers and sisters. The way out is to build a more perfect union for all Americans. Imagine the day, and it is soon coming, when the corporations like General Motors and General Electric and all of the companies that are having fundraisers all across this town, imagine the day when they are locked out on the outside of the convention and we, the people, in a democratic process are determining our future and our destiny on the inside of the convention. Imagine the day. Imagine the day when the big corporate contributors are on the outside of the convention having shadow conventions and we're on the inside of the convention telling them how we are going to spend the nation's resources to build a better America. Imagine the day.
Jonathan Kozol.
Thanks, Chuck. Thanks also to Jim Wallace, and my special thanks to Arianna Huffington, my new and beloved friend. When Arianna and I became friends last spring, some of my old friends on the political left, those I've been struggling in the trenches with for 35 years, raised their eyebrows and said, "Hey, what's going on? Having dinner with a Republican." Then I came out to Los Angeles, we met, had dinner again, and they got more worried. But isn't it interesting that it took Arianna Huffington, a recovering Republican, to bring together all these great activists and liberals and radicals? God bless her. God bless you, Arianna. Are there any school teachers here today? Good. I'm glad to see them. Teachers are my heroes. I mean public school teachers. They don't get much respect these days. They never did, even when I started out, but even less today than in the past. Seems every right-wing politician likes to satirize school teachers. Business leaders do that, too. Always hear these wealthy CEOs in New York City who look at me in their beautiful, elegant, air-conditioned offices and throw up their hands and ask me what we can do about all these mediocre teachers in the public schools. And sometimes I want to look at one of these guys in his beautiful Rolex watch and elegant imported shirt and beautifully manicured hands and want to ask myself how long that guy would survive if he were sent in to teach for one day at any high school in the South Bronx.
The Reverend Jim Lawson spoke next at the Shadow Conventions. Reverend Lawson, who worked with Dr. Martin Luther King, is credited by some as being one of the architects of civil disobedience and nonviolent direct action here in the United States, with his help in creating the lunch counter protest, which took place during the civil rights era. He had this to say about the United States of America.
Is the number one enemy of democracy and peace and justice in the world today. Now you clap for that, but I wonder if you really understand what that means. That United States government, as it is organized, the way in which it works, both the covert parts of the government, as well as the White House and the Congress, and the National Security Committee, and all of the other institutions in so many different ways, represents the number one enemy for peace and justice and democracy in the world today. And we, the American people, are the primary victims of that government's behavior. Not the children of Iraq who die at the rate of something like 5,000 a month because of our sanctions, because of British and American bombing that goes on almost every day in Iraq. They are victims, but they are victims because government has already made we, the American people, the recipients of its hostility, of its concern for greed and power and wealth, and its lack of commitment to democratic values or values of justice or values of liberty or values of human life. When I make that statement, I also insist that if we understand its meaning, then we must disconnect ourselves from loyalty to the status quo as it now exists in America. You cannot be loyal to the status quo, whatever aspect of it that you think is important, and have a concern for the future either of our own country, of our world. I say that with great personal pain, but I say it quite deliberately.
The Reverend Lawson also spoke later at a little different type of protest after the Human Need, Not Corporate Greed march. About 20,000 or so people gathered in the protest pit across from the Staples Center, the site of the Democratic National Convention, to hear a free concert given by the band Rage Against the Machine. Reverend James Lawson made his call for a spiritual, nonviolent revolution in America. And the crowd is responding.
You guys have been
suddenly,
so fucking good! Give yourselves a round of applause! What do we want? What do we want it? Justice! No justice! No justice! No justice! Viva la raza! Que viva la ley! Viva los zapatistas! Check, one, two! Woo!
Put in the front, put the power down. That fire started to pick the dog. soul on the face of another nerd can't pick up. Triggers go into your purse.
Rage Against the Machine has opened up with a crowd of I don't know how many thousand people in the free speech zone, the so-called protest pit. And of course, looking over at the Staples Center and the financial party that the Democratic fat cats are attending, of course, the majority of them are watching the crowd and watching Rage Against the Machine as well. Rage Against the Machine at the protest demonstration across the street from the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Zach DeLaRocca warned the people in the Staples Center that it's the people who built the city of Los Angeles, and if necessary, they can and will tear it down. Rage Against the Machine continued to play to the crowd of some 20 to 28,000 people, and unfortunately, the concert ended in violence. Numerous reports, in particular from Democracy Now! And Amy Goodman, state that police at the end of the Rage Against the Machine set decided they were going to pull the plug on the concert and warned the crowd that they had some 10 minutes to clear the area of the protest pit across the street from the Staples Center. Allegedly, some members of the crowd, approximately 20, were throwing water bottles at police from across the fence into the Staples Center, and police responded by charging the crowd and firing tear gas and rubber bullets at various people. A local AM radio news talk station reported that two of its security people were injured by rubber bullets that were fired by police in Los Angeles. While injuries and arrests have been kept to a minimum here during the Democratic National Convention so far, the talk in the media is particularly focusing on the aggressive nature of the Los Angeles Police Department and other law enforcement agencies and their mobilization of hundreds, if not thousands, of heavily armed riot police. police to stem off any possible expression of free speech or demonstration in the city that they find to be objectionable. It's Tuesday. We're making our way through the Democratic National Convention being held here in Los Angeles, California, and the concurrent protests, the shadow conventions, and marches that will take place throughout the week. Reporting for the Western Slopes News Service, I'm Mike Thornton.